team, that's an awesome song. You know, Sean is our resident, one of our Metro police officers. We have many, so blessed. He's such a wonderful man of God. He's got a great heart. He's a martial artist master, big time. He could bend you like a pretzel, but he doesn't, because he's a wonderful guy, and he's given his talent to the Lord, and I'm so thankful to the Lord for that. Aren't you glad that we go to a church where God doesn't care about tattoos or nose rings? Or he's about your heart. Always has been, and he always will be. We met a young lady here for the very first time in the 9 o'clock service. She was maybe in her 20s. She had never been to a church in her entire life. Ever, never been to a church. And she had a lip ring. And she was so blessed to be at a place where they looked at her heart and not what was on her lip. She says, she was so cute. She goes, I had a nose ring, but she goes, I didn't bring it this morning. I said, oh, mine fell out on the way to church. Don't feel bad about it. And June back there, June who works with the team, she goes, oh, Pastor, that was a booger. Self-conscious right now. I want you to know, guys, always keep a church like that, where you can have a sense of humor, where we look at hearts. We're not about this and that and the other, because God is about hearts. Is anybody out there with me? That's why this church is so unique. We're not compromising on anything, but that's not what God is all about. That's why this church is so cool, because we're the most multicultural and most multi-generational church in Wilson County, by far. And it's because we break down walls on purpose, because we talk about it. We're not afraid to talk about it. How many know the shortest distance between any two people is a sense of humor? And that really helps. How many believe God has a sense of humor? If you don't believe that, then all you got to do is look in the mirror. And then you'll know for a fact. What a great song. The Bible says, Psalms 85 and verse 6, the Bible says, Lord, revive me that I may rejoice in thee. I love that. Man, if you need joy back, if you've been leaking joy, this is a great place to be. So blessed to have a young lady that's never been to church, but yet had an awesome time. Be honest with you, she's searching for God. Doesn't know him yet, but all she's got to do is hang around the creek bank and she'll fall in, because God's good. But see, if you judge her when she comes in and you focus on the lip ring, she'll never meet Jesus, because she'll meet Pharisees first. See what I'm talking about? Because she got loved on and accepted and we looked at her heart, she had the best time ever. She had never, ever been to a church ever in her life. I said, well, why? Why now? She goes, well, I'm just kind of searching. I'm in a process. I'm just searching. What a great place to come and find the Lord. Ooh, man. Let's pray. Father, in the name of Jesus, we thank you so much for your word. Father, we thank you. Hebrews 4:12, your word is alive. Father, we thank you. 2 Peter 3:18, that we grow in grace and knowledge today. And Father, I thank you. So grateful for all that you've done. So thankful for your word. Matthew 4:4, we don't just hear it, but we live by it. Father, I pray it and I say it in the name of my Lord and best friend Jesus. And if you agree, would you say amen? We're on the second part of a series that we'll be concluding today. We're going to be beginning a brand new series next weekend as we enter into our new facility, but we'll land this plane very, very safely. We've entitled today's message, second part of a series that we're in, and I love this, and it's so true about every one of you. The best is yet to come. We've subtitled it, Your Future is So Bright That You Gotta Wear Shades. I absolutely am excited about your future. As I begin to prepare this, of course, I think about the past and how faithful God's been, and I think that's important to do. It's right and good to visit your past in a way that augments God's faithfulness. David, before he ever fought Goliath, man, he remembered how God helped him defeat the lion and the bear. So he remembered his past in order to stir up future triumphs. That's the proper way to visit your pastor. So I was thinking about that. 10 years ago, as we began Joy Church, of course, you know the story. We didn't know anybody. We started the church out with just 18 people, and what an adventure of faith that it was. We had no denominational money or backing, no anything backing us, just God. Just God and a wonderful adventure of faith, and we began it with 18 people, and now here we are. 10 years later, the church has grown way over 1,300 people. Last Easter, we had 2,100 people here. As you heard, over 2,300 people have given their lives to Jesus Christ. We fed this last year over 4,000 people with our Joy to Go mobile kitchen. God's so good. And I told you, when we had just 30 or 40 people in the church way back when, 10 years ago, I told you, because God had put a word in my heart, that this was not going to be your typical local church, that it was going to be a regional church, that people would come from all over. You know, and I remember when I shared that, because it was God's word, man, people looked at me like I had three heads, like, okay, Pastor, whatever you say. You looked around at the 30 people all from, you know, Watertown, and I was like, okay, buddy, whatever you got. And now here we are all these 10 years later, and we got people from Mount Juliet and Lebanon and Old Hickory and Hermitage and Laverne and Shirley and Hostenpfeffer and Incorporated. We got people from that come every week from Clarksville, every week from Cookville. We have people from Hickman and Carthage and Brentwood and Madison and Hendersonville. We have people that come from all over. How many know a church that's alive is worth the drive? How many know a church that's dead, stay in bed? I'm so gratified, and I'm so thankful to the Lord that people come from that far to be a part of what God is doing here. Way back when, 10 years ago, I looked at the people and I told them, because God had dropped a word in my heart, and I told them, I said, right from here, we're going to reach nations from here. People looked around like I had three heads. They saw the 30 or 40 people from Watertown, went, okay, Pastor, whatever. Look over here at our vision. What's number 5 say? Nations are changed. I told you 10 years ago we did that, and now we have so many people out of this church that are changing nations. We have Mike and Cookie Welsh that go to all kinds of different countries. We have Gwen Edlin that's gone to 70-something different countries. We've got Bill Stanky that has a ministry that they minister in Honduras all the time. We've got Dr. Bob Jance and Jamie. They got a ministry in Romania. They go all the time to minister in Romania. We just planted a church in Brazil called Joy to Brazil. Isn't that fitting? Billy and Alini Studs, still out of this church, are now pastoring a church. They've just begun it, called Joy to Brazil. I love it. We have another, Steve and Flora Harbin, that are oversee 50 different churches in another part of Brazil. We have a huge part that we play every single month in a local church in Montego Bay, Jamaica. We have a huge part that we play every single month in a church in Moscow, Russia. We are reaching nations from Mount Juliet. And I want you to know I am thankful to God Almighty for His faithfulness, but the best is yet to come. We are just scratching the surface, not only as a church, but I believe that in your life as well. So excited about what God has for us. Remember, we defined expectancy. How many of you have ever been pregnant? Man, there's my mama right there on there. You better get your hand up, mama. On the 5th, 6th row there, I remember when she was pregnant with me, that was the best time of her life. Okay, maybe not. But you know, if you've been pregnant, ladies, you're expecting something. There's something on the inside beginning to show. Well, there is a spiritual level of expectancy as well. The Bible says, Psalm 62 and verse 5, that expectation comes from God. When all of a sudden you sense on the inside there's something good about to happen. Remember we defined it last time? This is my little gymism, but this will work, and it's pretty powerful, this life point. Expectancy. God sees the good things about to happen to you, and He's having a hard time keeping it a secret. That's expectancy. And that's the purpose of this series, to develop a sense of expectancy on the inside of you about your future. Because I believe in your life and in the body life of this church, our best, your best, is yet to come. Because there's really two ways that we can face the future, no matter how young or how old you are, whether you've got yourself a boyfriend and about to get married or whatever the case may be, whether you're looking for a boyfriend, yeah, okay, right up here, second row. Well, I'm working for her, okay. That'll be $5 right there. Two ways to face the future. Number one, with nervousness or newness. Number two, with dread or discovery. Number three, apprehension or anticipation. Or number four, we can do it in fear or faith. And I would encourage all of us as we face 2014 and beyond, let's do this thing in faith. And there's some biblical things that we can do to foster a fabulous future. This is not up to the sovereign whims of a sovereign God. He's given us His Word. And therefore, if we begin to make biblical choices as we face our future, not overnight, but over time, things can begin to grow and develop and get better for you and I. Let's talk about that. We looked at three different facets to foster a fabulous future. We'll review very quickly and jump into new territory today. We're going to finish this session. It's going to be great. Let's talk about it. Number one, we share with you, first and foremost, you got to let go of the past. You have to. At some point, the Bible says, Philippians chapter 3, 13 and 14, I got to forget those things which are behind and reach towards that which is before and press towards the mark of the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. In other words, in order to get to a fabulous future, the first thing I got to do is let go of the past. That's the thing that I love about this church, is that we're not about your rearview mirror, never have been, never will be. That's just not what it's about. I got to meet 2 wonderful people last weekend, the Woods. I just saw them come in. Anytime you came in, they came in for a second time. How many know certain people are just gluttons for punishment? How many know you come in a third time, your family? What a great family the Woods are. Just had a great time meeting them and talking with them. They seem so genuine. I value sincerity and genuineness at a very high level, and they just had that dripping from them. How many know if you're going to drip, it should be with sincerity and not other things? How many know that all depends? All right, let me come on over here. How many got that over here? Okay, come on now. Now, you guys need to pray just a little bit more. They're dripping with sincerity. I value that. What a blessing that is. I thank God. When we see you, when you first come in, we're never about your past. We're always about your front windshield, because you can't change your past. Never let what was done to you define you. Never let what you did define you. Always let what Jesus Christ has done for you, let that define you. Because there's something that I know about your yesterday. It ended last night. Second thing that we need to do if we're going to foster a fabulous future, the second thing that I encourage you to do is become dissatisfied with the present. Now, if I leave this statement out there all by itself, I'm going to get you into a ditch. And this church is very committed to being biblically balanced. Therefore, I don't want you over here, or I don't want you over here. So I'm going to give you three dynamics concerning dissatisfaction that will keep you in the middle of the road, and it will help you walk you through it. Number one, the first dynamic, joy is a divine ability to enjoy the moment. How many know that at present you are here? How many realize you're not there? That's deep. Why aren't you writing that down? You're not there. Everybody say, I'm not there. I'm here. Therefore, because you are here, you might as well enjoy the moment. Don't get your mind at some restaurant. Don't get your mind at the chocolate fountain. What's the name of that place? At the Golden Corral. You don't need to be thinking of the Golden Corral and the chocolate fountain. Not now. I shouldn't have said that, because now I see some of you wondering. Yeah, there goes Donna going, I'm gone, goodbye, chocolate fountain, two words, love those, chocolate and fountain. Fountain's nice, chocolate is nice, but when you combine them, that's beautiful. No, man, you're not there, you're here, so don't go there, you're here. I learned a long time ago, I'm not going to always be thinking about there, because I'm here. When I talk to people, and as a pastor, I am pulled in many directions by many people when I walk in somewhere, and so please be merciful. But I try, when I'm talking to you, even if it's for 30 seconds, I try to be in the moment with you. It's not always easy, because I am getting pulled in a lot of directions, but I try to be in the moment with you. I've learned a long time ago that joy is the divine ability to enjoy the moment. You must have that, because you are here right now. And some of you, by looking at your pickle pusses, could use a little bit of joy. You're here, you might as well enjoy. You might as well laugh at my jokes. I am touched by the beautiful, sincere spontaneity of all of that. But as we balance this out, this dissatisfaction out, look at number two. What you tolerate, you cannot change. And here's what I mean. How many know biblically you are not obligated to lay down underneath everything that the devil brings you? There is a real devil out there. He wants to eat your lunch and pop the bag. His assignment, John 10:10, is to steal, kill, and destroy. His other assignment is to blame those things on God. Because if he can make you think that stealing and killing and destroying comes from the sovereign whims of a sovereign God, he knows that you'll lay down underneath it. Therefore, you must understand, anything that steals, kills, or destroys is not from God, it is from your enemy, the devil. Therefore, it's imperative to us, James chapter 4 and verse 7, submit yourself to God, resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Because your God is not a car-wrecking, cancer-causing creator. Your God is a loving, life-giving Lord. And if we tolerate it, then things will never, ever change. If we lay down under it, thinking it's the sovereign whims of a sovereign God, it'll never change. How many know so many times we're a whole lot more comfortable with old problems than we are new solutions? Therefore, we got to at some point become dissatisfied with what the devil brings in our life. And the third thing we talked about last weekend was many times the greatest enemy of everything is something. I told you earlier about our history. We left Knoxville. We sold our house. We sold our campus. I was founder of World Changers Bible Institute, still am the president of it. But we sold everything, and that was something. The ministry was something. Our house was something. But it was not everything. I believe that you're everything. And God called us to drop something to come to everything. So many times, the enemy to best is good. At some point, in order to foster a fabulous future, we've got to become, in a balanced way, dissatisfied with our present. The third thing that we talked about last time, and then we'll get you caught up to date. Number three, you must put a successful future in you before you can be put into a successful future. So important that we get this. And here's what I mean by that. This life point will describe it very, very well, I believe. Notice this life point. What happened to my life point? There it comes. Your outward circumstances will never outperform your inward portrait. Solomon said in Proverbs 23 and verse 7, he said it this way, as a man thinks in his heart, so is he. In other words, I've got to develop success on the inside of you before you're ever going to step into outward success. I've got to put an oasis on the inside of you before you're ever going to bloom in the desert. And the only way that I can do that is to get you to put the Word of God in you when you don't need it, so that it comes out when you do. Now, how many know this catches us up to date? How many are ready for new territory? Here we go. Let's land this plane together. Number four, your future's so bright, you got to wear shades. Check it out. Every decision that you make will either better your present or better your future. Now, if I could have my assistant come on out and uncover that. Come on, let's give Ed a big hand. Beautiful sweatshirt that he's wearing. God bless you. Thank you. Vanna White, he's not, but hey, we'll work with him. As your now eyes are caught over here on all the things that we have on this table, I want to give you a couple of life points that will kind of illustrate this point, and we'll dive into it with this. Those of you that are new, we have so many guests here, which we are honored to have. We have many life points. Life points are take-home points that you can either write down, or now we have such a modern church where people take pictures of them. That's fine. Whatever you want to do, that's fine. Take a picture, write it down, whatever. Go old school, go new school, whatever. But get the life point. Take it home with you. And here it is. Successful people make decisions that better their future. Unsuccessful people make decisions that better their present. Let me explain. Let me use a table to do it. Now, I know in advance the things I'm going to talk about because I've talked about them for two previous services. And in both previous services, they have not gone over at all. So I'm already expecting thunderous silence as we go into it. I'm preparing myself mentally as we speak. Here we have a big thing of pumpkin pie ice cream. Yeah, well, I got a taker right there. All right. Now, here's the thing. Pumpkin pie ice cream, that's great. And this will better your present. You as a comfort food, wonderful. I mean, you will get a sugar high with pumpkin pie ice cream. But here we have the dreaded broccoli. Just so that you know, that's a vegetable. Yeah, but Pastor, so is pumpkin. Yeah, I understand. This, my friends, while not as tasty as pumpkin pie ice cream, will better your future. I've got doctors and nurses here. I'm looking at one that's particularly interested in the health of Christians. And he's dedicated his life to seeing Dr. Mike Shaw, to seeing Christians being healthy, and I thank God for him and his wife. He'll be the only one that will back me up on this. Everybody else is going to be real, real, real mad. This, my friends, will better your future because this will help you to become a regular Christian. Ooh, a clapping family. I like this. Very nice. I'm going to tell you right now. Listen, do you know me? You know this church. We're not about legalism. There's nothing sinful about this per se. But what I am telling you is that life is a choice. And I'm breaking it down into very basic fundamental areas where we know. One decision benefits my present. Another decision benefits my future. As we move along, and it's not going to get any better from here, I can tell you that, this represents media. Now, thank God, you know, television, Twitter, my mom, the queen of Facebook, whatever the case may be, nothing wrong with any of those things. We use here at the ministry all of those things for the glory of God. Wonderful if used in its proper place. Wonderful, wonderful thing. But I do want you to know, these are running shoes. And I'm going to tell all of you that are 20 and under, will not even recognize this word, but I'm going to throw it out anyway. So ask an older person. You could actually go outside. Okay, you see the people clapping? Those of you under 20, ask one of the people clapping. What's outside? What is this outside that you speak of? I realize that you don't know what that word means. I know that, young generation. God bless you. But there is outside. Orange thing, that's the sun. Just saying, okay? I know that you have very, very developed opposable thumbs, and I'm very appreciative of that fact. But there is the outside. Again, nothing wrong with these things. But I encourage you, man, this benefits your present. Watching a half an hour of lizard lick towing. I don't know, somehow may benefit your present. I don't know how. But this, my friends, will benefit your future. It's up to me on a daily basis what kind of decisions that I'm going to make. Let's keep moving along because that's not helping anybody anywhere. Now, as you can see, these bags here represent shopping. And yes, I'm talking to you on the front row. How many believe that I talk very brave when I have a microphone, but at home, I'm in trouble. No question about it. And so notice here, you can shop. And of course, there's nothing wrong with shopping. Shopping's not a sin. There's nothing wrong with that. And I mean, well, shopping can be a sin. Oh, gosh, shopping can be a demon. All right, never mind. Nothing wrong with that, thank God. And listen, but at some point, those $300 pair of skinny jeans, does this make me look luscious? Do I look luscious with these jeans on? Yes, you look luscious. God bless you. But that's only going to benefit your present. When it comes to finances, I highly encourage you to tithe, save, and then spend. Because that will benefit your future. Thank you for your enthusiasm. This, of course, is an alarm clock. I thank you, Mom. This is an alarm clock, and thank God for sleep. It's a wonderful thing. How many, when you don't get it, you miss it. But the Bible also talks very much about loving sleep. Clearly, nothing wrong with sleep unless we love it. Someone said, well, Pastor, I've named my bed. I put a phrase along. I called it the Word. I painted it on the side of my bed, the Word, so that when anybody ever calls and I'm in bed, I can say, hey, yes, I'm in the Word. Well, I have to tell you what Miss Ann does so that you know. This is an alarm clock. Nothing wrong with getting 5 more minutes of sleep. That will benefit your present. And there's times where that's the right thing to do. But if that's all of our life, we never get to what benefits our future. The Word of the living God. At some point, I have a choice in life. And I have to realize that my life is about choices. And I've got two thoughts about choices that you need to know because they're very powerful. Two thoughts about choices, very quickly, if we'd be so kind. Number one, every decision you make is either taking you closer to or farther away from your destiny. And then number two, the difference between what you want and what you have are your choices. That's no fun to hear, but it can be if you realize that, hey, I have a choice in the matter. Every day I can make decisions that either punish or bless my future. And I encourage all of us together, if you want to foster a fabulous future, you can begin with those choices today. The next thing that we need to know about fostering a fabulous future together, because I believe your future is so bright you got to wear shades. I believe your best is yet to come. I believe that. Number five, learn to associate with those who will foster your future. How many know association gives you motivation for your destination? It really is true. It's so much more important than you know. Show me your three closest friends and I will show you you. Show me your three closest friends and I will show you your future. Association is huge. Who we hang around is huge. There are really two basic kinds of people in life, and you need to know this. Number one, there's those that love where you've been. And then number two, there are those that love where you're going. Learn in life to hang around those that love where you're going. It's one thing that I love about this church. We're not about where you've been. We're about where you're going. I have four people that believe that. We're about where you're going. You need to hang around people that are about where you're going. Never share your future with those that do not see themselves in it. That's worth coming for right there. Say, what do you mean, Pastor? Anybody remember Joseph? Yeah. He shared his future with people that could not see themselves in it. And that got him thrown in a ditch. So important that we grasp a hold of that. You know that's true. I've got a friend of mine. I grew up as a sinner. I didn't grow up in church. I didn't give my life to Jesus till I was 20. So 7 years ago, I gave my life to the Lord. No laughing during that point of the joke. And I gave my life when I was 20. And I had a friend, one of my roommates in college, you know, that we used to do all kinds of, everything we did together was illegal, immoral, or fattening. Or all three. His name was Barry. And he and I were roommates together. And that's all we did was we just caused trouble. And every time I've seen Barry since that time, every time, Barry is stuck in the past. All he wants to talk about is what we did that was illegal, immoral, or fattening, or all three. That's all he wants to talk about. And I'm like, Barry, that was 32 years ago, bub. I am a pastor. I love Jesus. And I've talked to him about Jesus upside and down, but he just doesn't want anything to do with him. Just doesn't. At some point in our lives, we got to recognize, I want to hang around with those that believe in where I'm going. It's so true. You realize that you're two people? Turn to the person next to you and say, are you sitting there beside yourself? Thank you. My wife was the only person in the church that did it. God bless you, honey. And for all that abuse that you took earlier, that is very godly. Can you encourage her? You're two people, whether you realize it or not. You're who you are. And who God has called you to be. My job is to take the Word of God and to introduce the two of you. If you'll take the Word of God and apply it, you will not recognize yourself in a year. You won't. You'll be completely and absolutely, utterly changed. How many know Keith and Twyla Faust that go here to the church? Keith's on the elders board, and Twyla's a main part of the church. They've been with us now, I don't know, 20 years, something like that. Keith is just a huge part of all the ongoings at our new facility, and Twyla's been an integral part of the design team. Great couple. We knew them when they were just kids. Twyla came to our Bible school when she was just an 18-year-old single girl. And she grew up really without a mom and a dad. A little bit dad was in the picture, no mom at all. Just grew up in a rough environment, didn't know nothing about nothing, had just given her life to the Lord and wanted to make a difference for the Lord and become a disciple of Jesus and get into the Word of God in an intense fashion. So she came to us just a kid. We kind of took her under our wings. We kind of adopted her spiritually because she just didn't have that kind of a thing in her background. And we were very protective of her. And all of a sudden, here comes Keith. And Keith wants to come to the Bible school. We're not really sure if it was for the Word of God or for Twyla. And this was Keith's first introduction to me, John. I mean, this is how I met Keith. This is the very first thing that he said to me. And it was really a hoot. I mean, he had an interesting background as well. And so he just walked up to me, knew I was the president of the Bible school, knew he was coming, knew we were protective of Twyla, and said, "Hey, how you doing, champ?" I want to tell you something. That was not a real good first impression. I was like, first you want to date my little spiritual daughter, and you start now with, "How you doing, champ? How you doing, chump?" I'm your new spiritual dad, and I could beat you within an inch of your life. Don't start out with champ. That was an inauspicious start to our relationship. But man, oh, he just dove into the Word of God, and he just became another person. They began to date. They started loving each other. Then they broke up. Yeah. And then they dated some more, and then they broke up. And they dated once again, and then they broke up. Yes, sir. And I told him, I said, Adam, and I said, "No, look, you two fish or cut bait. Because this ain't making no progress." So they decided to fish, and they got married. And now they've been married for I don't know how many years, something 20 years, I don't know. They got 3 kids. They're an integral part of this church. They're awesome disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ. They are completely different people. And once I finally got past champ, I believed in where they were going. And thank God for it. Come on, can you encourage the Faust? If you want to foster a fabulous future, man, it's so important to hang around those that believe in where you're going. Number 6, this is so powerful as we foster a fabulous future together because I believe your future's so bright. You've got to wear shades. Number 6, God will always love you through your future. Let's look at these verses. Romans chapter 8, 38 and 39. We're going to look at these. This is so powerful. God will always love you through your future. Whatever you're facing, this is so powerful. For I'm persuaded, Paul speaking by the Holy Spirit, that neither death nor life nor angels, these are good angels, nor principalities, that's demons, nor powers, nor things present, that's your right now. Watch this phrase, nor things to come. Say with me, things to come. Everyday language, guys, that's your future. Nor things to come. Notice here in verse 39, nor height, that's good time, nor depth, that's bad time, nor any other creature, the Greek is creation, shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. I don't care what you're facing now. I don't care what you're facing with things to come in your future. You cannot be separated from God's love. Therefore, if you can't be separated from God's love, 1 John 4:18, your Bible says, God's love for you casts out all fear. Therefore, you can face the things to come without fear. Yeah, but I don't know what's coming down the pipe. I don't either, but I don't know the future, but I know the one that holds it. And God's love, no matter where I go, I cannot be separated from it. He will love me through whatever I am going to face. Now, I know that. We mentioned earlier, 10 years ago, how we began this church and started it from scratch and knew nobody and had no guarantee of anything, no support financially, no denominational money backing us, no church money backing us. We just had God and we had faith in what He called us to do. And I remember the sense of vulnerability that we felt. I know how Moses, to some degree, must have felt. And the children of Israel, as they sat there and stood there at the Red Sea, hearing Pharaoh and his army and the chariots and the hooves beating down on them. And as that noise got louder in their ears, the sense of vulnerability must have grown. And you want to say, okay, God, you brought us out, but are we going to die here? Okay, God, Well, you brought us out of Knoxville, but here we are at this church and hardly anyone's showing up. Are we going to die here? And I know the words of Paul in Romans chapter 8 and verse 36, where he said, I feel like a lamb going to the slaughter. In other words, a sense of major vulnerability. But he didn't stop there. He went on to verse 37. He said, no, in all these things, I am more than a conqueror through him that loves me. What makes you more than a conqueror? Through him that loves me. The Greek word more than a conqueror is the Greek word hupernikao, and it means more than a victor. I love more than a victor. A heavyweight boxer, he goes 15 rounds. After 15 long, hard rounds of all kinds of boxing and all kinds of ducking and bobbing and weaving and hooks and undercuts and all kinds of jabs and all 15 rounds, long 15 rounds. Finally, at the end of 15 rounds, his hand is held high and he is the victor and he wins millions of dollars and he hands it to his wife. He is a conqueror. She is more than a conqueror. Well, that's the same with us. Jesus went the 15 rounds, won the victory, and handed it to us and said, in the middle of that vulnerability, you're more than a conqueror through him that loves you. Isn't God good? He's going to love you right through your future. I don't know, some of you have had negative pasts. All fear of the future is based on the negative in the past. But here's something I know about your future, if you'll believe these truths. Remember this life point. Your future is coming, and it will be unlike any yesterday that you have ever known. And he's going to love you right through it. Number 7, I'm going to finish with this. Good news is, this will be the last point that I ever do in this building on Sunday. The bad news is, there's 57 subpoints under this. I'm kidding. Number 7, check it out. Someone else's future begins when you walk in it. And this is the part, guys, that's so important. If you don't get anything else, get this. Someone else's future begins when you walk in it. Remember this life point because this is huge. Your existence on earth is proof that God saw a problem that nobody could solve but you. God didn't just call you here so that you would just flounder through life. Your existence is proof that there is a problem that only you can solve. And when you walk in someone else's life, that's when their future begins. Say, Pastor, what do you mean? Let me explain. About 3-4 years ago, I was in South Carolina. Keith that I mentioned earlier, Ed that came out here earlier, they were both with me. We were at a restaurant there, and it was, I'm a huge college football fan, huge. And it was opening day of the opening season about 3-4 years ago. And so I'm excited, as I always am around that time, and I'm at this restaurant, and this restaurant is all about my favorite team, all of the paraphernalia, all of the stuff, it's all about my favorite team. I'm so excited, I'm like, is this heaven? Lord, is this heaven? And so here comes the opening game, and they have a big old giant screen, and they got things all over there, and I'm so excited. And this place is wall-to-wall people, because people come from all over that are fans of this school, they come from all over, and it's just so crowded. And there's only one seat in the whole house, just one. And I've got Ed and Keith on either side of me, and the game's about to begin. Matter of fact, it has begun. It started. I'm excited. I don't even know that Ed and Keith exist. It's like, shut up, all right? And this guy comes, and he stands right in front of me, and right in front of the screen and everything, and there's only one seat open in the whole restaurant. He says, there's only one seat open in the whole restaurant. He said, can I sit there? I said, yeah, please, sit down. Now, game started. Sit. Not like that, but you get the point. Pastor, you throw me in. Oh, come on. I'm just making a joke. So he sits down. And Keith or Ed, I don't know which one, said, hey, Pastor, and asked me a question. Hey, Pastor. And he's sitting across from me. And he said, in real big, big, excited tones. And he had, his eyes were swelling up with tears. He said, you're a pastor? And I said, game just started. Big game. Big, you know, pastor. No, yuck, no, past. Big game. I'm not as holy as you are, but one day we'll get there. And of course I did. I said, yes, sir, I'm a pastor. He said, oh, his eyes just got all big. He said, you don't understand. He said, I was just out on a pier last night, and I was overlooking the ocean, and I'm a single dad, have been for many, many years, and my son and I have been extremely close. He's been my whole life, my whole world, my reason for existing, and I just dropped him off at college, and on the inside, I'm miserable. I got no purpose. I don't know why I'm here. I don't know if there's a God or not. And just last night, because he wasn't from around here, one from South Carolina. You know, everybody in South Carolina, Tennessee, we all Bible Belt, all the, he was from up north, up in the New England area, and he didn't know God at all. And so he was searching. He said, I was just out at the ocean, sitting out on a pier, miserable. He said, I yelled out in the ocean, God, if you're out there, if you exist, if you're real, I need to know who you are. I need to find a way to get to you. I'm miserable on the inside. He yelled it out in the ocean. So now he hears that I'm a pastor, and he thinks, this is God. And it is. Because while I love football, and while I love my team, now that doesn't even exist. That's not important. It doesn't matter at all. And so I said, no game right now. I talked to him for 40 minutes. Talked to him about God's grace. Talked to him about Jesus Christ. Talked to him about everything that Jesus came and did and died for, and how simple it is, and he did it all, and all you have to do is put your faith in him. And he was really taking it in and really soaking it up. Love to say that he gave his life to Jesus there, but he said, you know, I get it. I hear what you're saying, but I'm still searching. I'm not quite there yet. I said, that's okay. It's a process. Here's what I want you to know. When you are ready, here's how you do get saved. And I told him, Romans 10, 9 and 10, if you'll believe in your heart that Jesus came and he died for you and that he was raised from the dead, and if you'll believe in your heart that and call upon him, you'll be saved. He said, okay, I got it. About a week later, we got a call from another state somewhere. One of the secretaries took it. I wasn't in the office. And they said, I met Jim in South Carolina, and I want to leave a message. You tell him Romans 10, 9 and 10. We got back with him. We said, did you give your life to Jesus? He said, you better believe I did. His future began when I walked in it. And it's not because it's me, and it's not because I am a pastor. It's because I was available. That's why it's so important for you to connect with other people, because their future will begin when you walk in it. So important that you understand that you have value in God. You've got gifts. You've got words to speak. Oh, Pastor, you don't know. Yes, I don't know all of that, but I do know that God lives on the inside of you. And I do know that he's placed gifts there. And you may feel totally inadequate, but that's because you're looking at yourself and not what he's placed on the inside of you. He can take a little boy's lunch that seems so insignificant. He can multiply it and affect the multitude. So important that you connect with other folks, because their future will begin when you walk in it. And I really encourage you, I'm not about just coming and taking a big King James Bible and whacking people over the head. I believe that you have to earn the voice of truth. I believe that you have to develop relationship with them. And when you develop that relationship and walk in love, it opens their heart. Love opens people's heart. And if you're going to do it, I encourage you to do it in a relational way, but don't do it like this. Check it out.
I am so glad you guys gave up your Friday night to have dinner with us. I was thinking about you two specifically when the pastor was talking about Jesus this past Sunday.
That's true, because we need Jesus, but especially you need Jesus.
That is right. And what better way of sharing Jesus than over a meal?
That's right, because Jesus multiplied the food, the fishes and the loaves, and we've got ham.
That's right. Yeah. So let's go ahead and dig in.
That's right. We'll dig in. But first, we're going to pray because we're Christians. We're Christians, and we're going to pray over our food.
That's what we do.
Yes.
Pray.
And you pray.
And just bow your head. Put your hands together.
Together.
Just like that guy in the photo, you know. Just.
Mm-hmm. And we're going to have a child pray.
Out of the mouth of babes.
That's right. So out of your mouth, Sally, you pray.
What do I say?
Just say what Daddy said at breakfast.
Oh God, we've got those awful people coming to dinner tonight.
Amen.
Amen. Don't do it like that. Remember, when you walk in, someone's future can begin. About 10 years ago, when we came here to start this church, John, our little boy, who's 11 now, was about a year and a half old, and we discovered Longhunter State Park. You know how many know what I'm talking about? Love that little park out there. We used to go all the time because I'm a fisherman. They have a little pond out there and all that, and a little walking trail. It's just pretty. You can see the deer and all this. So we would go out there. We'd take John out there, and, you know, we'd put him on the swings, and we'd push him, and, of course, then we'd pick him up off the ground and put him back into the swing, and then push him again. I'm kidding. And so we had a great time out there. We go out frequently. Well, one day we went out there, and my wife and I were there, and John, and we befriended this woman. Just got to talking to her and loving on her, encouraging her, telling her why we'd moved from Knoxville to Mount Juliet to start a church. And, of course, we talked to her about the Lord, and we invited her to church. We said, hey, come on. You need to come. She said, well, yeah, okay. I'd like to come. I'll come. And so next week we looked for her, and, you know, we couldn't find. How many know when you got 30 or 40 people, you know if they're there or not? That's true. Yeah, that's true. And so next week, no girl. Next month, no girl. We didn't see her ever. About 7 or 8 years later, woman walks up to me in church. Now the church has grown like it is now. She says, do you remember me? Now, I'm a sweet pastor, but I'll never lie to you. And so I had to be honest. I said, no. She said, well, I met you and your wife about 7, 8 years ago, Longhunter Park. You had a real big conversation with me, da-da-da-da. You remember that? No. She said, oh, okay, well, I'm here today. I was like, okay, well, that's great. She's a Mormon. And that day at church, she gives her life to Jesus Christ. She began coming and coming regularly. Her son, about 20 years old, from living in California, then moved in with her, came here. He gave his life to Jesus Christ. And even though it began 10 years ago, and even though nothing happened for 7 or 8 years, the moment that we met that woman, a part of her future began. You need to understand, ladies and gentlemen, the kingdom of God is very connected. You are very vital in the kingdom of God. Every one of you has been called by God to make a difference in other people's lives. And when you walk in, someone's future begins. Check it out.
This is Nate. Nate became a Christ follower 2 weeks ago and is still a bit giddy about it, though he's trying not to do cartwheels in public. Nate became a believer partly because of Kim. Yet, oddly enough, Kim and Nate have never met. How is this possible? Well, let's take a look. Kim loved Jesus from an early age, and in college she had a huge impact on her friends. While most of her peers used their college years to, well, experiment, Kim didn't. She remained committed to her faith, and it showed. It especially showed to Lisa, her roommate, who confessed to Kim that she wanted whatever it was that made Kim so strong. Kim shared her faith with Lisa, and Lisa believed. Years later, at Lisa's first real job, she met Thomas. Thomas was hit by a drunk driver when he was 13 and still carried a lot of anger and bitterness. Thomas and Lisa became friends, and it wasn't long before he started going to church with Lisa and her husband. After a lot of studying and searching, Thomas gave his life to Christ. Fast forward a few years. Thomas became a public speaker and was often asked to speak at large events. See, when he became a believer, Thomas developed a new perspective on life. He stopped resenting what had been taken from him and started being thankful for the second chance he had been given. On one particular day, Thomas shared about overcoming hardship and what it means to choose joy. He was so passionate that a number of people were inspired to share a link to his video. The video of Thomas inspired James, too. And if anyone needed inspiration, it was him. James had a ton of issues. He spent most of his life as a passive husband, an absent father, and a horrible friend. That said, no one disliked him more than he disliked himself. But everything changed the night he happened to watch Thomas online. Something clicked and he knew what he had to do. He surrendered his miserable life to someone greater, and he was forever changed. James fought hard to make up for the lost years with his family. And he also began working with young men who were in danger of throwing their lives away. One of those men was Nate. Nate didn't really know his own dad, and he had no real direction in life, ultimately bouncing from one bad decision to another. Because of that, he often found himself in trouble with the law. No one had ever showed him what it looked like to be a real man. That is, until he met James. James became the first father figure Nate ever had. He learned about honesty, self-control, humility, and integrity, and where those traits come from. 2 months later, Nate publicly declared his belief in Christ, and of course, James was there. Now you can see the connection. Nate was impacted by James, who was influenced by Thomas. Thomas saw an uncommon joy in Lisa, who learned of Jesus from Kim. Kim's relationship with God eventually led to Nate's. Funny how these two people have never met and never will.
Next weekend, as we have our opening services at our new facility, who will you invite? Whose future will begin next weekend? I think of that precious girl that came in the 9 o'clock service, never been in church in her life. Just happened to talk about after the song because Sean was up there singing, and Sean is our police officer. He's got tattoos and earrings. I just happened to talk about how this church doesn't care about tattoos and earrings. And even mentioned specifically lip rings. And she's there for the very first time. You think that's an accident? That made a huge difference in that little girl's life. And I'm believing that her future began today when we walked in. Church, I want you to know, your best is yet to come. Your future is so bright, you've got to wear shades. But I also want you to know, your future will always be connected to others.